previously on Corporate Homie,
where you can engage in philanthropy and you don't need to be rich.
Pay for a month of prescriptions for an elderly person.
Buy uniforms for kids.
Donate your old furniture to a student.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie, what is a rockstar homie?
You don't want to be the person that's aha in your client.
Rockstars and superstars proofread.
You can clap back if you want to, you're going to be unemployed.
Keep a calendar. What's up, homies?
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo woo. I said a woo woo.
That will never get old. It just is what it is. So we use this phrase on episodes. We use it when we're out speaking, and we call it a rock star homie. So we have had more than one homie reach out to us and ask us, you know, what is a rockstar homie? What are the things that they do? And one of the things we really pride ourselves on with Corporate Homie is that we give you
practical advice.
Right. Real life, tangible things that you could start doing tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And so that's what this episode is about. It's about, you know, how you can just become very thorough, a go-to person at work. And these are the tips and characteristics of a rock star. So,
and just as a reminder, if you are just trying to get by, you can stop listening now, because
right,
that's not what any of these tips.
Just to get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. So, or, that's right. They're
yes,
not for trying not to get
that.
By.
This is right. Not for the. It's not for the people who just. It's not for the homies that are trying to get by. It's for the homies that are trying to stand out, to be rock stars.
Exactly.
All right. So, first tip is all about one of Demetra's favorite topics, communication. I think that you communicate either in person or over the phone, because it's
Agreed.
Very difficult to hear tone in text and email. And I think text and email is a way to confirm, reiterate, verify, document the conversation.
Yes, or maybe even to preview a conversation. But when you really want to get to the crux of understanding what your task is, understanding what someone else's responsibilities are, you need to talk in person or on the telephone. Otherwise, I think that's where people have a really bad understanding. It's especially that way if you can be really sensitive, or you're working with someone as sensitive, because, like, for example, I remember I would send a message to someone who's doing some work in my home one time, and I would say things like, is the contractor coming today? And she would respond back, good morning, Demetra. So what she heard, she read my messages in a very snippy way, but I could have meant it like, hey, is the contractor coming by today? But that's not how she's hearing it in her head as she's reading the email. And so I do think that it's important for that. And another reason why I think that's important is people forget things in an email, but when they're talking through, they'll usually remember sort of everything
they can retain
to
it better.
Yep. So I think that's a great first tip. The second tip I always say is rock stars and superstars proofread. I am absolutely floored at the number of emails that I receive and my name is misspelled.
I was just about to say, just my name. And it's the very first thing. And it has
right.
an extra letter, or not enough letters, or the wrong letters.
Right. And I'm actually confused, because to get the email correct, you need to spell my name correctly in the email. So that is just a sign of you have a lack of attention to detail. And I recently had someone I know who was looking for a position, and they had, you know, sent out a request for resumes and were actually so surprised at the number of typos in the cover letters and cover emails. And you know, I think this, if no one is going to want to hire you to be on their team when you're unable to send a transmittal email or cover letter without a typo. And I know years ago, many years ago, we had a young man clerking through my group, and his work was very good, but all of his emails had typos, and no one in the group had confidence in his work because they felt like anybody who couldn't take the extra 45 seconds to proofread an email was probably not going to be an asset for the team.
And we've all been guilty of this, and it's really just a matter of slowing down and rereading it and giving it, like you said, another 45 seconds before you send it, because then you're embarrassed and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, just moving too quickly. But in real life,
I want to say this, it's not just checking the email, it's opening the attachment to make sure it has what you say is attached.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because people have the wrong PDF attached. It's checking an address before you send something. My firm moved 2 years ago. I'm amazed at the number of people who still send things to my old firm.
Guilty.
Check the address. Like, just double check the address. Double check people's names. Proofread.
Yes, and that's a small thing that can make you very much look like a rock star. The next one is, walk through the activity. You know, what is all of the info needed? You know, do you have their name on the package? I am surprised we've actually had people send things to our jobs, not your home, and it won't be addressed to anyone. I've had people will say things like, we're going to send me a meeting planner, and it'll say, where are we meeting? And it'll say, Demetra's office. And I'll think, that was what the location will say, and I'll think, where is that? I don't know where. I don't necessarily know where Demetra's office is. My favorite is I had an assistant that booked me a lunch meeting, and it said Houston's. And I thought, there's three of those in Atlanta. Am I going to the right. Houston's on Petrie? Am I going to Houston's on Lenox? And so make sure that all of the details for the activity are actually in there.
You know, that's a great point. I remember I was going to court one time. I was getting ready, and the paralegal at the time had put all of the exhibits on a CD-ROM. But here's the gotcha. My computer didn't have a CD-ROM
right.
player. And I asked her if the judge had a CD-ROM player.
And she wasn't sure.
And so that's what I mean about it. You have to think through the process. So while she thought she was being diligent, like the exhibits are laborious, it's going to be a lot of them, I don't want you to have to carry a notebook, I put them on a CD-ROM. She had not thought about how that would actually play out in court, how we would get the exhibits from the CD-ROM to the witness and to the judge.
Unbelievable.
So you have to think through the mm-hmm. think through the process. My next tip is kind of in that same line of proofread and walk through, confirm everything. I'm also surprised by this, especially when people have like a Monday morning meeting and no one sent me an email like Sunday evening to say, hey, are we still on? Just confirming. And I think the person who really is requesting the meeting should absolutely make sure they do it, because you're the one who's going to be put at a disadvantage if the meeting doesn't go forward. But lots of times we put things on our calendars, they're on there weeks in advance. And so it's not like you just put this on yesterday. And I think there's nothing wrong with shooting a quick email that says, hey, my calendar says we're having, breakfast tomorrow. Is tomorrow still good for you?
So one of the things that when I have good assistants that I ask them to do for me is beginning at 3:30 the afternoon before to confirm all of the meetings for the next day. So I ask them to send an email, and then I don't say, are we still on for coffee? I'm like, are we still on for coffee at the Panera Bread at the corner of Kennedy and West Shore at 8:30? Because I find that, especially if you've been going back and forth with places and times, you can get things messed up in your mind, or it might even get calendared incorrectly. And you want people to be able to say, yes, we're going to go here, to this place at this time.
Right. And so if you don't have an assistant, that should be you. Or if you're the lowest person on the team, in the hierarchy, that should be you that's confirming that to make sure. So you can say, listen, I talked to Jim And I let them know we made it to town and we're gonna, you know, we're confirmed at 8 o'clock to meet them for the pregame before we go to the meeting.
Right.
You know, we're having breakfast with them. I confirm it.
And then I will say, see you tomorrow at, you know, 10:30 at such and such and such and such a place. I've actually had people miss meetings and they'll say, oh, I thought it was at this time. And then I'm like, no, go back and look at your email. You know, it was actually at this time. I think that just being proactive would be my next tip in general. And I know we talked about this before, when you're meeting somewhere new, mapping it out the night before. Nothing worse than somebody showing up 15 minutes late talking about they was in traffic. It's like,
what?
We're all coming from traffic. Or my favorite is, I was in traffic because school was back in.
School's back in for everyone. Yeah. But I won't tell you now, you know, it used to be back in the day, I would do a drive-through somewhere so that I knew how long it took. Now you can put in the Waze. You can plan a drive on the Waze app and say, okay, I have a meeting at 9 o'clock, which means I tell Waze I want to arrive at 8:45. What time do I need to leave my house? Because you can't arrive at the place at the time you're supposed to have your butt in the chair at the meeting. So I think that's I think that goes back to, I know one of your favorite tips when you're always talking about being proactive is like, make an agenda for the meeting. You know, be the person who's, I would say this as far as the proactive, think of it as you're the one that's advancing the ball forward. You are always the one moving the ball towards the green, moving the ball towards the basket, getting the ball to the net, whichever sports analogy
to the
you
end
like.
One of the things that has served me well that I did innately that now I have people who work for me do this is I bring two extra copies of everything to the meeting. Because for whatever reason, there's always at least once a week somebody who's invited someone else to the meeting that you don't know about. I actually find it to be incredible for somebody to come to a meeting with one copy for themselves. And you think, are you serious right now?
Were you gonna meet yourself too?
So if they say there's gonna be three people, I bring five copies. If I have two extra copies, so be it. But it's not that their boss's boss joins the meeting and I keep having to tag along and share.
Right. Or their intern. Right. They decided to bring their intern. There's some, you know, whatever. So you just want to make sure everybody in the meeting. And so I love that. Just being proactive. Tip number six, keep a calendar. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and it's five people ordering and the waiter won't write anything down and you feel like you don't need to impress me, just write down our orders. Because you want, and that's to me what keeping a calendar is about. And I believe you schedule both your personal and professional things on your calendar, because otherwise you're going to miss something. You know, I have a saying, if it's not on the calendar, it probably won't get done. I have seen people miss meetings for work. I've seen people miss galas. I've seen people miss all kinds of things because they didn't check their calendar or they checked it 3 days in advance thinking they were going to remember. And I have a rule for myself. I look at my calendar every night before I go to bed, because that will then prompt me to send someone an email to confirm breakfast or realize, oh, I need to get up 30 minutes earlier for my workout because I have a 7:30 breakfast, or, oh, I need to be a little bit more dressed up today because I'm going to meet with so-and-so. Right. So I say keep a calendar.
And you probably got that from when we were growing up. We had that big family calendar in the kitchen. And if your activity didn't make the calendar, there was no sense of urgency from mom or daddy to make you get to your...
They're like,
it wasn't on the family calendar. That's not happening. That's not even a thing, right? Like, it doesn't exist, you know? So...
Which is probably a good point for the homies that, you know, that if you have a, you know, significant other or a spouse, you want to make sure that they have the same really important dates that you need them to participate or go something, that it's on their calendar as well. So invite each other to a calendar appointment or things like that.
Great point. I've got be organized. You talked about the agendas for the meetings, the sufficient number of copies. And my favorite one is walk through in your mind, in terms of being organized, how you think the meeting is going to flow. I will actually write on the top of my own agenda. I always write my name so I don't mess around and pass the one out that has my notes on it at the top right. And then I will write what I think the objections are going to be. Like if it's a negotiation, I'll write down like pricing, and then I'll write myself an arrow. This is the way we're going to overcome this, you know, high fee. But I try to anticipate what I think might be the objections in the meeting, time frame or, you know, whatever time frame for appraisal, whatever that may be. And we all have that. Every meeting should, and I know Tita's going to love this because she's always complaining on Facebook about going to unnecessary meetings, but every meeting should have a purpose. It should have an objective so that when you get out of there, you feel like you got something accomplished.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I've even started, for my own sake, putting time frames that I think things should take. So if I know I have 7 agenda items, then I think we need, 10 minutes, or otherwise we're going to be here, for 2 hours or whatever. And then I say, hey, in an effort to stay on agenda, we're going to need to move to the next item, blah, 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 or we're going to need to cut some items. So I think that's a really
I like
good
to do that
point.
Too for people who I know are loquacious and like to get off topic. I'll say when we sit down, like we have an hour this morning, and then I'll say, okay, well, we need to pick up the pace because I promised everybody we would get out of here within an hour.
And
we can't talk about the Packers and the Bears anymore.
That's right. Right. Stop with the kiki and let's get to the meeting. Right. Okay. My next point is you have to understand hierarchy. I think this is incredibly important because especially now we all want to prove so much about like I did my task well or I got this right, or especially if you get some type of email back that's sort of indicating that you didn't do it right. And I really believe, and I think we're going to have an episode about this soon, but it's not important to be right. It's important that the people that you work for are happy and satisfied with the work product. And so you could be right all day, like that it was on their calendar, but if you didn't confirm it and they missed it and your boss misses it, and I always say this, your boss is your biggest client, that's a problem.
Yeah, you don't want to be the person that's aha on your client. Whether it's your internal or your external.
Gotcha.
Don't you tell me now.
Yeah,
no,
gotcha.
Don't you tell me. I'm going to go get me a different lawyer. I'm going to get me a different architect. I'm going to get me a different banker. One that doesn't stick it to me because I made a mistake.
Right. Or try to point out that I'm making mistakes. Right. And I think that that is something we have to be really careful with, especially now with all of the social media memes and everything where everybody's like, per our previous conversation.
Everybody wants to clap back. You can clap back if you want to. You're going to be unemployed.
Right. But no one enjoys working with the person who claps back.
That's so
back
funny
like
you
that.
Say that. I was talking to a good friend of mine and she was saying that she's learned not to point out everything when she's right. She was like, I used to do that and people didn't like me. And I was like, how great is that to be self-aware? It's like, that wasn't cool, So I like that. Understand a hierarchy. And you definitely don't want to be doing that to your boss. FYI. This is a big one. This is one of the things that we see that the president has trouble with. Admit mistakes immediately. You can't just draw a Sharpie and include Alabama in the hurricane trap and
make it so.
But not being able to admit mistakes is a big form of weakness. So you have to be able to say, like, you know what? I came up short there. Here's what I'm going to do. And we've talked about this before in your brand, and overcoming your brand is part of that, is acknowledging when you're wrong. But you cannot be a rock star if you will not admit your mistakes immediately.
I was just about to say, and immediately, because when you're slow to admit your mistake, or you're saying that you made a mistake, but then you want to explain why you made a mistake, explanations just end up sounding like excuses. They don't sound great. And if you're slow to admit the mistake, it also doesn't give the other person that happy feeling of like, we're a team, I'm glad to work with you. Because the real issue when you don't admit your mistakes immediately is you breach trust. And the other person doesn't feel like they can trust your word. They can trust your behavior because you're not willing to take responsibility for your own behavior. Mm-hmm. I know we have talked about this incessantly. We're on number 10. The 10th tip is take notes.
That part.
Why? It's again like this, like I was saying about keeping the calendar in the server. You can't remember everything that's going to be said in a meeting. So go ahead and write it down. I recently had this experience. A young man wanted my thoughts on getting a new job. We went to lunch. We were sitting there. I was giving him different people to reach out to, names. And I was floored that he did not take one note. And I thought, not even pull out his phone and take notes on his phone. And I thought, how is he going to remember all these people and what I said to say? And, you know, we were crafting sort of a story.
Basically, like, role playing.
Should be as to why he was looking. Yes. And he did not take one single note. And that really made me, and I could be wrong. He could be, you know, Mike from Suits and have a, you know, photographic memory, and he's going to remember every single thing that was said. But I didn't have that comfort as I was sitting there, and I felt like it then was wasting my time, which probably isn't fair.
No, that's funny you say that. I had a young man who worked for me one time that would never take notes with the clients, and I said, like, we were with them for an hour. They gave us a lot of good information that we're going to need to turn around and put into a credit memo. And I have 3 pages worth of notes. And I was hoping that you would have taken notes, so if I missed something and vice versa. And he said, well, I have a photographic memory. I said, they did not put up a chart. They verbally gave it to us. It doesn't help us. Right?
Like, you
what are you talking
photo.
About? Right. But I have heard. Someone was actually just complaining about this, the president of our bank, a couple of weeks ago, about young people not taking notes. So this is a real thing, because what people do feel is that they're going to have to repeat themselves and you're wasting their time.
And that's an easy way to come back and add value when your teammate or boss or, you know, advisor or whatever miss something. You're like, oh, I have that. I have that in my notes. They said blah, blah, blah. You talk about looking like the rock star. Now no one has to reach back out to the people in the meeting. They don't have to clarify, because between
that's
the three
a good
of
point
us,
because we've had
notes.
That happen where we weren't sure about something, and two of the people had the same thing and one person had something different, and that's the way we decided that this was what was actually said in the meeting. Well, I actually had it in my notes, blah, blah, blah. So you're right, it's an easy way to really set yourself apart on debriefs and when you're working on the strategy on the file moving forward. So
one last tip. Yeah, diversify your network. The go-to person in life is the person who knows everybody, the person who has a Rolodex that you can trust. I remember when I first started practicing, and we started, like, the firm started keeping like a consolidated marketing system where people put their contacts in. And one of the marketing assistants joked with me that, oh, people just throw in everybody they know they've ever met. But Demetra, when you put somebody in there, we know you know them. Like, you're not just throwing people in. And that is something that makes you a rock star, that gives you credibility, that sets you aside. That if you actually say, oh, I know so-and-so, then you do. The way to really diversify your network is to not only get to know people in your field. I have this conversation, I feel like, a lot with younger homies, really not even just younger homies, but people like, well, I don't need to know any bankers because I'm a trademark lawyer. But you don't know who you need to know. And there's nothing.
And you don't know what your clients might need.
That's right. And I've had clients reach out to me for everything from other legal advice to, I'm going to be in New York and I want to know, you know, what's the best place to stay, or how do I get Broadway tickets? And so you never know how you can show up for someone and impress them because your network is diversified.
Right. And anytime you add value in any way, whether it's personally, professionally, or referral, people will remember you. They will remember you, and they will call you the next time they need something. You will be one of their first phone calls. Like you said, whether it's the best restaurant to eat at, or how to get, you know, tickets to a play, or
get their kids,
you know,
in the private school.
Private school, right. Value is value is value.
Yes. And sometimes those personal things are more valuable than anything.
True that. True that. So, again, these are tips for how to be a rock star. These are things that everybody that's listening can start doing at their jobs tomorrow, this evening, this afternoon, whenever you're listening. So let us know, as always, you know, what you think. Drop us a comment. Drop us a 5-star review. We've learned that that is the currency of podcasts. So if you have enjoyed the tips or you've applied them and they've helped you, drop us a line and let us
know. Yes, I just want to reiterate that we've just realized that's how all the rankings are done for podcasts, and all of that is a 5-star review. And we've been remiss in asking you guys, drop us a review, homie. Let us know what you think. We really appreciate it. And of course, if you have a topic that you want covered, send us a email at questions@corporatehomie.com, and we'll take care of that. And if you'd like us to come out to your organization and speak, you can send us an email at info@corporatehomie.com. So until next time.
Hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.